Welcome to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Paul Tordot. Every year, the Anchorage Parks and Recreation Department and their partners host a winter solstice festival at the Cuddy Family Midtown Park that features ice skating on the park's ice oval, horse-drawn sled rides, food trucks, and dog sled rides. On this Outdoor Explorer, I roam the event interviewing participants, organizers, volunteers, politicians, and the event's founders. Stay tuned for Outdoor Explorer. To Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Paul Tordot. We'll start with Anchorage Park and Recreation staff member Ellen Devine talking us through organizing the Anchorage Winter Solstice Festival.
Hi, this is Paul Tordot. I'm here at Cuddy Park. Thanks for joining us and organizing this. I wanted to tell us a little bit about this event and its history and what's going on here.
Yeah, so this event has been going on for 15 years, and it's just such a great way for all of Anchorage to celebrate that we're not just a summer city, we're a winter city, and that's really who we are. We celebrate the winter. So it's the longest night of the year, but it's also a time to celebrate the return of the light. So we like to throw a big party with lots of fires and reindeer and dog sleds and horse-drawn wagons just to celebrate that we're halfway out of the dark.
A lot going on. And what's a little bit of the history of the event?
Ooh, great question. So, as I said, been going on for 15 years. Originally, it was started with a speed skating club, I believe, because to raise money. And so we still have the hot chocolate donations to help go towards a speed skating club. And then it's built since then to include all sorts of other things like, this horse-drawn wagon and everything. So it's everything from ice skating to, celebrating being in the snow.
Nice. It looks like a lot of kids event, a kid-oriented event.
Definitely kid-oriented, definitely family-oriented. It's a great opportunity for family and kiddos to come out and enjoy getting to see Santa or his reindeer and enjoy being out in our parks in the winter.
Wait a minute, Santa's here? Wait a minute, how did you get Santa here?
Oh, we could definitely pull some strings. So we know Santa and Mrs. Claus are here. So they are here and handing out candy canes. We must be on the nice list.
Right, you must be. And here comes the horse-drawn carriage. So it's like a sleigh sort of thing?
It does have wheels, but it's supposed to look like a sleigh.
and is it all free?
Everything's free. The only thing that isn't free is the food trucks, because the food trucks still need to make a profit, but everything else is free. So you just come, you make your reservation with us to get on the horse-drawn wagon or get on the dog sled and, just enjoy this long winter night.
And it must be a lot to organize. When do you guys start planning this, and what's it take to put on an event like this?
Yeah, so I work with Kathy Janigo. She's our event coordinator and does a lot of work on this one. So she actually has been running this event for, I think, 10 years now. But with that, we have at least a month of time with staff where we're doing everything from like collecting all the decorations and getting all the reservations for all the different groups coming out and, reserving the lights and all sorts of stuff like that. So it's a lot of little bits and pieces that come together to make it a fun night.
And what other organizations are involved? What other partners do you have?
Oh, we have a lot of partners. So you'll see that we have the Anchorage Public Library here. They help us out with music and hot chocolate. The Alaska Speed Skating Club is over in the Oval. They're also doing hot chocolate and getting donations. And they're over there skating. We have, It's Alaska Speed Skating Club and Anchorage Skating. I wish I could remember the name. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
Okay. I would have to look at the poster, but it's Anchorage Skate Club, I think. So they're the two main skate clubs that are involved. And then we also have, we get hot chocolate from like Kaladi Brothers and Steam Dot, and the Betty Cuddy Foundation provides a huge donation so that we can have all these events here.
Fun, fun, fun. That's always on solstice, eh?
Always on solstice, no matter what. So the day of the week does change, but it's always on December 21st, and it's always 5 to 8 p.m.
And tonight, it's pretty nice out. It's probably about 20 degrees, and it's not snowing. What's some of the like worst weather that you guys had?
This is my third year doing this, and I will say last year was definitely the coldest. I'm pretty sure even my core was cold, and I was wearing several coats. It was, I want to say it was negative, but it could have just been me being outside for the entire day and being frozen. So far, we haven't had any crazy snowstorm during any of this event, but last year we also had it right after the giant December snowstorm. So I will say that everybody was late getting here because we were trying to make it through the roads because there was still a lot of snow on the ground.
Yeah, that was at the 40-inch snow or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. So it was quite a bit to get over here.
But, you know, Alaskans are tough, so people made it, eh?
Definitely, they made it, and we actually still had close to 1,000 people come out to celebrate with us. So it was
wow, 1,000 people. So how? Yeah, is that normal, or is that?
Yeah, that's pretty normal. So it's really hard to keep track of numbers. This is just our best estimate because people are coming in from three different directions. So we try to give the best estimate. But for most of our events, if you think about like Tuesday Night Race or Haunted and Enchanted Trails or any of our other big events that we have, we average between 700 and 1,000 people per event. So
that's a lot of fun. And what's your favorite part of this event?
My favorite part is all the Alaskans coming out and being outside because I think it's just refreshing. A lot of people during the winter months want to hang out and hide out inside, but it's really cool to see the grit and determination of Alaskans who are like, I don't care if there's a little bit of snow, we're going out to play. So it's just fun to see everybody.
Yeah, Alaskans love to play in the snow. Well, thanks, Ellen. This is Paul Tornick with Outdoor Explorer. We're here at the Winter Solstice Festival right at Cuddy Park, and I'm with Ellen Devine. Thanks, Ellen.
Thank you. It's always good to talk to you, Paul.
And one other question, Ellen. What's your title at the park?
I'm our community engagement coordinator, so that is a fancy way of saying that I do everything from public information to social media to volunteer coordination.
Yeah, you seem to be at all the events, so yeah. And it's a team effort, right? There's a lot of Parks and Rec people here, right?
Yeah, I think we have about 15 staff members out here, maybe more than that. And then we still had maintenance out here earlier, so it's a huge crew of people who come together to get this going.
Yeah, really into it. A lot of Cthulhu. Look, I got glow sticks here. Fun, fun, fun. All right. Thanks, Ellen.
Thank you.
That was Ellen Devine with the Anchorage Parks and Rec staff. Next up is Mayor Dave Bronson, then Assemblywoman Anna Brawley.
Here we are at Cuddy Park with the Solstice Ice Skate / Extravaganza. I'm here with current Mayor David Bronson. Dave, tell us, what's great about this event for you?
Well, we're happy to be here. We were here last year. It was a lot colder. But it just kicks off winter, kind of the official kickoff of winter here at the park. We got a great facility. We've got some capital projects, I think, coming into this here in the future to make it even better. It's just a lot of fun. A lot of people here. We got sleigh rides here with the horses. We've got a lot of stuff going on. It's just a great place for people coming down and visit and kind of start winter. Even though it feels like it started about 6 weeks ago,
we've had quite the winter. This must be been a trial a little bit for you guys. So this must be a fun event.
It is a fun event. I spent most of my life living in northern climates, and this kind of stuff is kind of normal. And we like it.
And the darkest day of the year? And probably a good way to manage that, huh?
Well, yeah, that kind of defines winter, cold and dark. So, yeah.
Well, great. Thanks a lot. And thanks for your support for Parks and Rec.
Yep. Happy to be here. And thanks for what you're doing.
All right. Thanks. All right. Yep. Good luck. Thanks. Okay. Here we are back. Here I am with
Anna Brawley on the Anchorage Assembly.
Oh, Anna, thanks for joining us. And so what's your involvement in this event? And
Yeah, well, I'm here tonight as a volunteer. This is actually my second time attending this event. Last year, I was a volunteer as well. Tonight, I'm doing hot chocolate. And I really love this event because I love solstice, and I love getting folks out in the community to really enjoy winter. You know, it's the darkest day of the year. It's a challenging time of year for folks, but it's really great when people come together. We've got great lights out here. There's fires going. There's a horse carriage behind me. So it's really just great to see everybody out here enjoying it. You know, I've seen all faces, right? All ages, you know, everybody around the community. So it's great to be here.
And so darkest day of the year. It's not dark here, I'd like to say.
That's true. We've got our ambient lighting from the city. We've got all these beautiful Christmas lights out. And there's some great light sculptures over there that I'm looking forward to seeing after my volunteer shift.
Yeah. And you said, I think you said solstice was like one of your favorite times of the year. Why? Well, most people would say, oh, darkest day of the year, not my favorite time of year. What do you like about it?
Well, I like the solstice because I like marking transitions. And I love every season. I'm from the Midwest, so I miss spring and fall sometimes. You know, but I really love it because it's really reminding us that we live in natural cycles, and that it is even when things are tough or when it's dark and cold out, that it's going to be different not too long from now. So I take a lot of hope from the season, and of course it's the holiday season. So many different traditions and holidays happen this time of year. So it's just fun to see everybody come together and really just enjoy the holidays, enjoy that restful time at the end of the year.
And it's such a great event. All these kids here, and everybody's having a good time, it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah, and I really love that it's a public event. You know, so I'm in public service now, but I've always loved cities and loved communities, and I think it's really important to bring people together at fun events to enjoy our public parks and to enjoy all the stuff that makes our city great.
Yeah. And what do you have advice for people how to get through the winter?
So when I moved here about 12 years ago, I took up cross-country skiing. I bought used skis for $10 at the ski swap. So, you know, you don't have to spend a lot of money to really get out there and try to just, you know, keep yourself active, enjoying nature. So that's really my advice. You know, sometimes it's hard to even get yourself out of the house, let alone go out and exercise. But I never regret it when I go. So that's my advice.
Yeah, it seemed like during the pandemic, a lot of people discovered, the outdoors, and parks became very popular.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're so lucky that we have so many parks in town. There's urban parks, we've got our playgrounds and Town Square Park. We've also got great trails and folks who want to really get out in the wilderness but not have to drive an hour away. So there's just really a lot of options, and it's so great to see so many different people out enjoying the winter.
And we're so fortunate to have the ski trails. A lot of it's free, the ice skating, the ski trails, a lot of the muni trails are groomed by the muni, and it's all free or, you know, by donation.
Yeah. No, and it's amazing. I've traveled to other places, and, of course, I'm from other cities, and a lot of places don't really have the amazing trail system we have, or they're trying to build it now when they're already built out as a city. And so the forethought of folks who came before me who said, you know, we really need to make sure that we have green space for our residents. And I think it really shows with the visitors we get, the events we have. Everybody really loves to be outside. So,
and you volunteered. So talk to us about that. Why is volunteering important in a city like Anchorage?
Yeah, I think these events don't happen without volunteers. So, we have really great park staff. Shout out to Ellen Devine, who's our volunteer coordinator. But it's really a great way to get involved. And it's really low key, low commitment, right? It's just showing up for a few hours. I've enjoyed giving out hot chocolate to folks of all ages. And so it's really important because things like this don't happen by themselves. And if we all pitch in a little bit of time, a little bit of our work together, then we can really make it fun for everybody.
Yeah, yeah, really, the whole thing runs with volunteers. So, well, Anna, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, and thank you for being out here.
Yeah, you're welcome, and thank you for supporting Parks and Rec.
Yeah, thank you, and happy solstice, everybody.
Now that the politicians had their say, we go to the core of the event. Petra is a volunteer and tourist from California. You're listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media, and we are at Anchorage's Solstice Festival 2023.
All right, this is Paul Tordek again with Outdoor Explorer and Alaska Public Media. We're at the Winter Solstice Festival at Cuddy Park. I'm here with a volunteer, Petra, right?
That is right. Petra is my name. It means rock. It's German. I am originally from Germany. I have been introduced to Alaska by reading federal grants, and it has just been amazing to read about Native Alaskan culture. And so I wanted to come and see for myself about the wonderful folks here in Alaska. And so this is my seventh trip to Alaska in a short 5 years, and I just feel at home here. I just absolutely love it.
And you're talking about one of the things that included bears and villages.
Yes. So in one of the grant applications that I read several years ago, some author wrote that there are more bears in the village than there are people. So I was so intrigued by that, and I had to come to Alaska to see for myself. And sure enough, for some villages, that is true, that there are more bears than people. And so it's just a wonderful time out here tonight.
And do you come in the winter? Like, what's your favorite time of year in Alaska? Well, winter here, for sure.
Yes, and so I do both. I've been to Fairbanks in the winter, and I have, you know, obviously been here now in the winter. And I've also traveled to Alaska in the summer. And I can't say that I have a preference, because every season in Alaska has something special to offer.
And so you've come here to this winter solstice event from Utah, and do volunteer, is that right?
Yes, so I volunteered here tonight. So I took a class out at the Alaska Native Heritage Center for 3 days, where I learned how to bead. And so we made gloves and we did some Native bead work. And so I looked to see what was available to do in Anchorage. And after I took my pictures of the White Raven,
Oh, you're a White Raven fan, yeah.
Absolutely, I'm a White Raven fan. I took my pictures of the White Raven. So I checked out the website for the Anchorage Parks and Recreation Department, and I always want to volunteer when I visit a place. And so I signed up for a volunteer shift tonight, just to make my trip a little more purposeful, and just love it. People are great here.
And what were you doing volunteering?
I was assigned to the dog sled, and so, yeah, so that was my my assignment. That didn't happen this year, and so that means that I get to come back next year, and we're going to try that again.
Yeah, something I think the dog sleds got in a little accident, or they're all okay. Well, that's fun. So what is your favorite part of winter in Alaska?
I would say the spirit of the people. I think people have been so positive, and I saw that tonight. Even though it's dark, it's cold, I think the spirit of the people is amazing. People are friendly. I can talk with them. They talk to me. I've met some people, other people from Germany, actually, tonight. And I think the spirit of the people is really what I love.
Oh, fun. So other people, tourists here. That's fun. Coming up maybe just for this.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. They
should. And have you seen Northern Lights?
I have not seen the Northern Lights here, but I've seen the Northern Lights in Fairbanks. So
Oh, good for you. Well, thank you, Petra.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And enjoy your visit to Alaska, and safe travels.
Thank you so much.
Finally, we get to the founders and organizers of the Oval and the Winter Solstice event. First, there's Art Geis, then Jim Renkert.
All right, here we are on a continuing on our little lap around the ice over here. I'm with Art Geis, and I've been told you're the godfather of this park.
Right. Well, Helen Nienhauser came back when I was park board chairman under Tony Knowles back about 1980, and made me promise that if she'd come back on the commission, if I would help her get open space in a park in Midtown. And I did, and so that's when we started about 40-some years ago. And little by little over the years, we accumulated about 4.5 acres by the post office. And piece by piece, started assembling the park. And it was interesting how many different people have come forward to help us with different phases of the park, and built it and acquired the last big 10 acres that the Oval's on now. And then some of the folks like Jim Renkert and the skating group that helped us get the ice oval with Ted Stevens' assistance, and now and then the lights for the Oval, and it's just amazing. Now we're trying to get the chalet for the park, which will make it really very, very popular. Right now, very few people seem to know that the park's even here or use it. And this really should be anchored to Central Park. This is right in the heart of town where all the people and all the different activities that can take place. And so I'm delighted to be out here once again at Earl Solstice's. I've been every solstice since we've been having it. And seeing all the people here tonight to enjoy all the different activities here in the winter, in our winter city.
It's such an amazing resource, and you're right. Like, people don't really, it's not on people's radar. It's sort of tucked in here south of the Lusac. So this started back when a long time ago. What year? When did this really start?
Well, we started working on it. The Park Commission started working on it in about 1980. Helen Nienhauser and we had had a lot of support with Mayor Knowles, and it's interesting how little by little, like I say, we were able to keep putting it together, and now we desperately need a chalet, because can you imagine Kincaid or Hilltop or Russian Jack operating successfully without a chalet? And here we're right in the middle of the city with easy access publicly, trails, roads, and everyone in the entire area, it's very easy for them to get here. And this really should be our anchorage of Central Park.
Yeah, it's a really amazing. Now, you're a skater yourself?
Excuse me?
Are you an ice skater yourself?
I skate little enough to where I enjoy skating, yeah. but not professionally or competitively.
But somehow along the way you saw this, or someone saw this as an ice oval.
Oh, yes. Actually, the person that was most responsible, I think, for getting the ice oval here is probably Jim Rinkert and the Anchorage Skating Club. And they came to me when I was chairman, and Helen and a lot of the other older key people that helped assemble the park weren't all that excited about it. They were more interested in the great meadow here in the summer and the nice views. But I saw right away with Jim Rinkert's enthusiasm that this had such a fantastic potential. And so I started helping him build support for it, and we finally got it through with Ted Stevens' money there, and located here, and satisfied everybody with that wanted different things in different areas of the park. But the skate, you know, we're a winter city, and we need to have Helen's initial thrust for the park was, let's make it a summer winter park, and it's fun to be out here in the summer and see people rollerblading and parents pushing their baby buggies, and people just coming out at lunch from Midtown to sit in the great lawn here with a beautiful view and have lunch.
It's a great facility. Well, Art, thank you very much. It's very interesting, and again, a tremendous amount of effort and time going to making these kind of things happen.
Yes, it's. I know when some of the year earlier, Rick Meistrom said to me, he said, "Well, you're really persistent." And that's what it takes. So 40-some years later, I'm still out here hoping for even more and better things for our park.
Always, always, always. Yeah, thank you very much. Enjoy the evening.
Yes, thanks. Thanks again.
Here we are at the Winter Solstice Festival at Cuddy Park. I'm with Jim Rinkert. Jim, you've had a lot to do with this. Tell us a little bit of history of this event.
Well, once we got the oval built, I think in summer 2008, we didn't have lights, but we started using it that year. And then, so we used it in 2008, 2009. And then the next year, I've always loved skating under the full moon. And we'd seen some other events where they had tiki torches and lanterns out. And I thought, well, let's try to do a full moon tiki torch skate. So on January 1st, 2010, it just happened to be not just New Year's Day, but also a full moon. So we held our first Tiki Torch and Full Moon Skate here at the Oval. And then we were going to try to do it on Full Moon every month. And I think we did a few more that year, kind of informal, not promoted a lot, but we had some people come out. But, you know, the full moon, the date of it changes every month. And then in the winter of 2010-2011, in December, the full moon was on winter solstice. So we thought, well, that's perfect. Let's do the full moon that night. And then we were skating around with my friend Mark Larson, and I was talking about, well, you know, when should we do this event? Should we try to do more of these in the middle of the winter? And he said, you know, you should just have it every year on solstice, and don't worry about the full moon. And I said, you know, that's a great idea. Let's just do that. And so that's what we've been doing ever since. The group Anchorage Skates, the Alaska Speed Skating Club, with the help of the Muni, we put it on for a few years. And then I finally kind of stepped down. And by that time, we had lights. And then the Muni has really stepped it up and added events. The sleigh rides have been added. And we had snow yoga one year. And we had
snow yoga. What's that?
Well, Amy Fitzpatrick is a yoga instructor. And so she had snow yoga one year. And then we've had dog.
Sounds cold.
It does sound kind of cold. And then there's been skating on the pond as well. And, you know, there's been, some snow bikes one year. And the Church of the Flaming Funk, a bunch of baton twirlers with fiery batons. So they had that one year. So
the Church of the Flaming Funk.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. And they put on a great, great show. But really, the centerpiece is the skating around the Oval and the Christmas music.
Yeah, it's really, really impressive. I think there's someone at Parks told me there's about 1,000 people or more than that here tonight.
I think that's right. I think one year, of course, it depends on the weather and everything. But I think a couple of years ago, I think we had close to 2,000. Last year it was kind of cold. We had a good turnout, but it was in the single digits. So you know that'll keep people in. And it had been colder, even colder before. So. Yeah,
and when you first started those first full moon skates, how many people did you have?
Oh boy, we probably had 50 to 100.
Wow, yeah,
it was really fun. One year, I mean, just there were a lot of college kids that come home for the holidays, and some of them were skating around, and they just started singing Christmas carols together. So that was real special.
Oh, fun. And the involvement in the club is really important. We've had some great interviews here with different people. What's your sort of favorite part of this event?
Oh, well, it's just seeing everybody coming out and having a good time. You know, my big, huge, audacious outdoor recreation goal for Anchorage is that every kid who grows up here in our winter city learns how to ski and ice skate. And I particularly like, you know, the outdoor sports, so outdoor skating and skiing. So, yeah, I just love to see kids and families out here, and we want to get more kids and families and more people using this Oval on a, not just on solstice, but it's open to the public, and it's free. We do ask if you can to buy an ice pin to help us for maintenance. We give a little bit of money to this assembly every year to defer the cost of the maintaining the ice. But it's particularly on the weekends. There's a lot of room to come out and skate here on the weekends, and with the lights, of course, in the evenings.
Yeah, the lights really make a difference. It is such an amazing one of the reoccurring themes I've heard here tonight is just the community aspect of it, all the different people, the kids, and also what sort of just highlighting what a great winter city Anchorage really is.
Well, that's really true, you know, and I'll just put a plug in for the Nordic Ski Association of Anchorage, the Nordic Ski Club. This year is their 60th anniversary, and we're a city of skiers and skaters, and I love living in Anchorage because we have all these great trails and recreational opportunities, but we're also a multicultural city, and I love that and really want to try to get more kids from the diverse background to get them on skates.
That was Art Geist and Jim Reichert talking about the history of the Cuddy Park Ice Oval and the Winter Solstice Festival. After a short break, we'll talk with Jim about the history of ice skating in Anchorage.
You're listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. Find the show anytime as a free podcast in the iTunes Store or connect with us online at alaskapublic.org.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th.
Welcome back to Outdoor Explorer. I'm your host, Paul Tordot. We are talking about ice skating in Anchorage and specifically the Midtown Cuddy Park. I have Jim Reckert in the studio with me to continue our conversation about the park. Jim, why don't you tell us a bit about the Oval's future? Where's it going and what are some of the dreams for it?
Well, the big dream is to build a year-round chalet there that can be used both in the summer and winter. But we feel we really need a chalet to make the Oval in the winter for skating more accessible to more people throughout the city. One of the things we've kind of heard, you know, for a winter sport, whether it's skiing or skating, you really need to have a warm place to start and stop. I mean, just imagine what Hilltop would be like without the lodge, or Kincaid would be like without the outdoor center. And people would still be skiing, but probably not as many, and it would be, it's just a lot more work. You know, kind of one way to look at it is that when someone, Sue Perlis told us one time, well, you know what you really need to have? You need to have a chalet that has a warm place to go to the bathroom and where people can get hot chocolate.
Hot chocolate, yeah.
So, and the hot chocolate, it, you know, that's key to outdoor winter fun.
Yeah, especially for kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kids and their parents who have, you know, are you're trying to keep the kids warm and want them to have a fun experience when it's below freezing.
One of the first interviews in the show was with the mayor, and he had a cup of hot chocolate in his hand, and I think he was as about excited about the hot chocolate as about anything. It was cold out there, so
yeah.
It was great. And so what's the vision of this chalet? Like how big, and where are you in the planning process?
Well, we have a design that James Doherty with Rim Architects did. It's a real cool design that would the chalet would fit in on the northeast corner where there's, you know, the trail is right now. But the chalet would sit there, and then the trail would go over the top of it.
So, oh, cool.
And then there would be an entrance out to the Oval, but also an entrance out the other way to the pond and the an entrance.
Parking and stuff.
Yes. Yeah. And part of the idea is there would be some sort of food and beverage there, maybe just a little coffee spot, yeah. Nothing real fancy. But one of the absolute key things we feel is there needs to be ice skating rentals.
Right.
And there could be rollerblade rentals, roller skate rentals in the summertime. Last winter, my old friend Walter Weaver and I went to Caldwell, Idaho, which is just outside of Boise, and we'd heard about this, what they'd done in Caldwell through Anchorage Economic Development Corporation brought this guy up named Roger Brooks. He talked about what cities are doing to make themselves unique and make them more appealing to both visitors and residents. And he mentioned Caldwell, Idaho. How they totally renovated a part of downtown that had been practically abandoned, and there was had a lot of let's just say unsavory activity going on, but part of it was they daylighted a creek, which actually was done at Cuddy Family Midtown Park.
What would have been daylighted?
That part of a creek was in a pipe underneath the roads and the parks in the area, and they open it up. At Midtown Park, that's the pond you see now. That's actually part of Fish Creek.
Yep.
And so that was part of what they did there. But the other stuff they did at Caldwell is they put in this little skating ribbon and a stage. And they mentioned that, yeah, they do the skate rentals. We went down and visited it last year. It was very cool. They told us they were going to make over $350,000 in ice skating rentals for this season.
Huh. Wow.
And that got our attention. I thought, well, that could help. If we could put something like that in the chalet, I don't know if we could make that much money, but certainly that would help defer some of the operational cost.
Yeah, because I assume the city would probably be a little nervous about taking on another facility.
Oh, yeah, always. So that's why we're looking into different options. One of the things we did this past, just the past few months, a senior class at UAA, business class, did a business plan for the Oval, and that's now out, and they came out with some very interesting ideas on how to make it all work.
Am I sharing them?
Well, they did talk about having rentals, and maybe it's not run. The facility would be owned by the city because it is in a city park.
Yeah.
But doing some sort of contract to a concessionaire.
Yeah.
Manage it and run it, and help put on events. You know, there's events you could do. Well, they do a number of events at the park in the summertime. There's been concerts there in the past, and there was a carnival that was there 1 year. Of course, we have done we started the Solstice Festival, but now the city has taken the lead. City Parks and Rec has taken the lead, but there's a lot of the nonprofit groups like this skating club that are involved in that. And the Betty Cuddy Foundation, but there's other events that could be taken place as well. One cool event that happened a number of years ago, not in the Oval, but on the pond. For a couple of years, we had the Victorian skate. They invited people to come in Victorian garb, top hats
fun.
And tails and dresses.
Huh.
And actually, that was Ron Randall, Keegan Randall's dad. Who came up with that idea. It'd be fun to bring that one back. But I think if we're going to do more events, both summer and winter, we really need a chalet.
Yeah. And this is going to cost money to build. How's fundraising going for it?
Well, we had a cost estimate done a number of years ago, 2018. It was $1.2 million. Of course, that number has gone up.
Yeah.
John Rada, when he was still parks director in 2019, included a little bit of money for the chalet in the park bond. We got $250,000 out of that. And then last year, some assembly members in the city put in another park bond, which also passed. That was $350,000. And then we've been working on a grassroots fundraising campaign, you know, small donors. We've got over 100 people have donated so far, including 16 Olympians and a number of whom are gold medalists. So that's been very cool, very exciting. It was July 2022. Out of the blue, we got this nice little check from Bonnie Blair, five-time Olympic gold medalist. I saw her win her fifth gold medal in Lillehammer at the Lillehammer Olympics in 1994. And that was inspirational for us. It's like, whoa, maybe we should talk to some other Olympians. So we started doing that, and we've got 16 who've donated so far from around the country.
How did Bonnie Blair find out about that? I mean, a little side note is I grew up in the same town as Bonnie Blair. I didn't really know her.
Illinois.
I didn't know her, but you know, it's a flatlands. I mean, talk about an odd thing, this Olympic world-class ice skater coming from Illinois, but that's a different story. But anyways, how did she ever find out about this project?
Back when we were first trying to get the Oval built, we had our kind of working board, but then we worked up an honorary and advisory board. And I think it was Amy Fitzpatrick who got in touch with Bonnie, and she said, sure. And she wrote a letter of support for us. Dan Jansen wrote a letter of support as well, back in those days.
Those were big names.
Yeah, really it was. And one of the things, and this is interesting, one of the things people don't – speed skating in the United States has just such a rich history. It is overall the most successful winter Olympic sport the United States has ever competed
really?
In. Oh, yeah. More medals have been won in speed skating, long track, and now short track is now part of the Olympics as well, than any other sports. And some of the names there are like Eric Heiden, Bonnie Blair, Dan Jansen, Apollo Ono, Shawnee Davis, who we brought up last year. And actually, this is a fun bit of trivia. The very first Winter Olympic gold medal in the first Olympics was won by an American speed skater by the name of Charles Jutra. That was in 1924 in Chamonix.
Huh.
So there's this rich history. But what I want to emphasize here, the Oval is not about the Olympics and speed skating. It's a facility that all skates and all skaters are welcome. Hockey skates, figure skates, the Nordic blades now, which are very popular. And so why there's this, these Olympic speed skating heroes, it's really more about everyone gets a chance to skate. And as I've talked about, everyone who grows up in Anchorage, I believe, needs to learn how to ice skate and ski.
Yeah, that's a really cool vision, pardon the pun. what about I'm really interested in the theme of ice skating and how big a deal. Obviously, hockey has always been a big deal up here. But let's talk about Anchorage as a winter city a little bit. And like we have this amazing ski culture and now skating and so forth. But in your mind, where's Anchorage going forward with this? So, for instance, there's been talk about Winter Olympics in the past. There's been but what are the next steps? We have an oval. What are some other things that you would dream of with this goal of getting kids involved in winter sports in particular?
Oh, boy. Well, the Chalet at course is the my number one priority for winter sports here. The Nordic Ski Club has a number of cool ideas out there, but I think I want to bring it back to gateway programs that teach kids how to ice skate and ski. The Junior Nordic program has been just so phenomenally successful. But I would really like to see us making sure that every kid has a chance to do that. I think we have some, underused skiing facilities in Anchorage. Russian Jack is one of the cradles of Anchorage cross-country skiing. And that's in Northeast Anchorage, where there is a lot of Title I schools. So getting more kids from our multicultural background and who you're coming from cultures where there's not a tradition of winter sports, but they're also coming from cultures and countries originally that there isn't winter. So one of the really cool things last year that Davis was able to do, he was the first African-American to win an individual Olympic gold medal. That was in 2006 in Torino. And won gold and silver there, and then he repeated in Vancouver in 2010. He visited Mountain View Elementary School, where one of the teachers had taken it upon himself to get kids skating. Hmm. And he worked real hard to get a rink going and finding equipment for them. And the kids just love it. And Shawnee visited him with them and skated with him. Keegan Messing, our figure skater from Girdwood, was there too. Keegan kind of stole the show because he was doing backflips and all kinds of twirls and stuff. But it was just so much fun. And those guys had a great time together. And Shawnee said it was he's done lots of school visits over the years. He said it was probably the coolest one he's ever done.
Yeah. That idea of Anchorage being a very multicultural, very diverse city, it's important to encourage all people to be out doing these outdoor sports.
Well, exactly. And because we are a winter city, and if you're comfortable being outside in the winter, you're going to be comfortable being outside and out recreating in the summer as well. But the cool things about skiing and skating is they're lifetime sports. So once you learn the skill, and I going back to one of your earlier questions, I'd like to see every kid learn it by sixth grade.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Because if you can learn it by that, well, you've got a skill you've learned for life. And it's, you know, especially if you learn it before, you know, you're a self-conscious teenager. So gateway programs, the Anchorage Skate Club, Edwin Blair and John Monroe have some very cool programs they're doing. Martin Leonard with the Alaska Speed Skating Club is working with a group, I believe it's called TIA, I'm going to get this wrong, TIA Muna with Alaska Native Kids. Mm-hmm. You've got to have those gateway programs that make that's where kids can learn, and it's fun, and it's easy to take up, and it's welcoming.
Yeah. This is Outdoor Explorer in Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Paul Tordak. I'm talking with Jim Reichert about ice skating and winter sports in Anchorage. Jim, you've done so much in this community. The more I learn about you, the more impressed I am of how many things you've been involved with. But you grew up here, right?
Tell us a little about yourself. I'm a homeboy.
Tell us stories about, you mentioned at the break, ice skating down in Westchester before it was a lagoon.
I grew up in Inland View. I went to Inland View Elementary School, where there was a hockey rink, and then there was a little rink off to the side. I can remember the first time I went ice skating. But I grew up skating there, but I have a memory of several times going down to what is now Westchester Lagoon. Back then it was an estuary, Chester Creek Estuary, but skating out on the lagoon and looking at the open water in Chester Creek and knowing, well, we didn't want to get too close to that. So I grew up skating and skiing at Russian Jack and Arctic Valley and later Alyeska, and actually Kincaid when there was just 7.5K of trails. So I've seen that expand, and it has just been so cool to see the growth in the skiing sports here in Anchorage. I mean, it's like I keep going, well, how did I get so lucky to grow up doing this era when we started out on wood skis, and now we have this extensive trail network throughout the city, and there's an awful lot of people who have contributed to that, made that happen.
It's interesting that you mentioned Inlet View, because I live down there and actually right across from the rink pretty much, and that rink's still there. There's a rink there, and it's pretty neat that they maintain that thing, and the kids are out there and pee, and after school, their parents to show up, and they'll be out there ice skating, goofing off, and it's great to see.
Well, there's an interesting story about that. So I grew up skating on that rink, and I knew the principal was involved. But as a kid, we went to the first, second, third grade. We went to these events at the school, probably on a Friday night, called Chuckwagon Dinners, where the moms the school moms would put on these chuck wagon dinners. And I just went as a kid. I didn't really know what they were. But Edwin Blair, who does a lot of the ice maintenance, he's also an Inlet View kid, he told me when we were working on getting the oval going, he said, well, those dinners were to help raise funds to build and maintain the rink. That was the local dads, Judge Fitzgerald and Ted Stevens, were some of the dads who put on those who helped build the rink. So I was like, whoa, I didn't realize that. That's cool.
And that Ted Stevens then comes full circle back to the Oval, right?
Yep. We were working on getting the Oval built. And it's back when Ted, was on the head of the Appropriations Committee. And I happen to know that Ted was a big fan. A lot of people don't know this, but Ted was a big fan of amateur sports. In fact, he is one of the authors of the Amateur Sports Act, which created the U.S. Olympic Committee in, I believe, 1972. He's also was probably the the lead in the Senate for Title IX. A lot of people don't know that either.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
So I knew Ted was a big supporter of amateur sports. And so we thought, well, we should go talk to him about this. And so as we were doing this, Edwin said, it was at that time we were considering that, Edwin said, well, you know, he was involved with that Inlet View rink. So I went, what? So, yeah, I felt like I was coming kind of full circle on this. Yeah. So it was,
That's really amazing how small Alaska is sometimes.
Yep. Yeah. And I'm not sure if I mentioned this, but the Amateur Sports Act is now known as, it is officially the Ted Stevens Amateur Sports Act.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well named. Let's go to, so you grew up skiing, ice skating, skiing here in town, and at some point, you've also discovered wilderness ice skating. And I'm thinking about going, like, where I'm going with this is where skating is going in general and how this idea of wilderness ice skating is really sort of seems to be taking off.
Ah, there's nothing quite like wild ice in the in the backcountry and in the mountains. And I always thought it would be cool to skate, on the lakes and the mountains. And we got this idea probably in the mid-80s that, wow, if the conditions are right, it would really be fun to skate the Nancy Lake canoe system. Uh-huh. When I was in college a few times, this was back in New England, there was some conditions where we were able to skate the some of the rivers and some of the meadows. And it was just the coolest thing. Instead of being confined to a rink, you could go anywhere.
Yeah.
And also, I heard the stories of, you know, the Hans Brinker type thing. And just to kind of go there for a little bit, in 1985, I read this story in Outside Magazine about this epic event in Holland called the 11 Cities Tour, the Elfstedentocht. And this American wrote a story in Outside about the race. The event had not been held. This is 1985. It had not been held since 1963. So he went over with his hockey skates and talked him into letting him try to skate it. And the Dutch just laughed at him, said, the difference between hockey skates and and speed skates, as a friend in Colorado told me once, he said, the difference between hockey skates and speed skates is the difference between cross-country skis and alpine skis.
Yeah.
And so he didn't finish, but he wrote this cool story. And I thought, oh, man, that would be fun to go do someday. I kind of forgot about it. But then in the winter of 95 and 96, we had one of those winters where it just didn't snow.
Yeah, yeah.
And but some of us, my friend Bob Atera and others, we were like, wow, let's go skate. So I think we skated a Klutna Lake that year, and I think we finally skated the Nancy. Well, we'd skated the Nancy Lake system a few years earlier. But one of the cool skates we did, I did this with Neil O'Donnell and Clyde Vickery and Neely Taylor. We hiked up to Crescent Lake on the peninsula, and the ice it looked like a window pane. It looked really thin, like you'd go, you know, just straight to the bottom. But it was a foot thick. We looked at the cracks, and so that was just phenomenal. I remembered this story about the story that had been in the Outside magazine about skating in Holland. And I thought, what's going on with that? Now, this is before the internet. You couldn't just Google it. This was 95, 96. So I had to go to the library and go through the microfilm and look up old Outside magazine articles. And I finally found it and read it. And I'm like, but what I ended up doing was calling the U.S. Speed Skating Association and ask if they knew anything about this. And they said, oh, you want to talk to Dave Phillips and Carol Moore. So I called, they gave me the numbers, and I called them. They said, oh, the 11 Cities Tour hasn't been done since 86. And unless you're a member, you can't get in. But just about every year in Holland, there are the canals freeze up enough so you can do these 25 or 50 or 100K tours. And I thought, well, that sounds cool. I should go do that.
Yeah.
And so the winter, Christmas 96, I was actually skating at Westchester Lagoon, trying out the kind of cheap speed skates I'd found in Norway a few years earlier, and got home, and there's a message from Dave Phillips, he lives in New York, and said, we just talked to Holland. Things have frozen up. The weather forecast is good for the next 2 weeks, so we're going over. And this is like an overload to the outdoor fun hog. just a jolt. Yeah. And so I went, whoa. So I called my travel agent, called my boss, got the time off. I flew over on New Year's Eve, didn't know anybody there. I was going to just, wing it. And Dave and his Dutch contacts were waiting for me at the airport.
Oh, fun.
So I connected with them. And then just in this harmonic convergence of good luck, the Dutch announced that they were going to hold the first 11 cities tour since 1986. I went up with them. Make a long story short, I got into it and did it. But one of the cool – it was, well, so much cool about it. But Dave, we'd gone out skating the day before. Dave had these skates that were just long blades with a Nordic blade on them, mm-hmm. a Nordic binding on them. And yep. he had boots with him, some touring boots, but they fit me. And I tried them, and I'm like, whoa, these are great. Yeah. And I knew right away that if I brought these back and introduced them to Alaska, they would eventually take off.
Yeah.
And that's what's happened. So I read about all the stories of people going to Rabbit Lake and Eagle Lake and the Willow Wall Lakes this year, and now they're down skating at Portage. And I wasn't able to do any of that year, but I'm like, oh yeah, that's just so cool.
Yeah, listeners, there you have it, the introduction of Nordisk to Alaska with Jim Renker. And now it's down. You go out, and right now we're in a cold snap in early January 2024, and people are out looking at it, and Portage in a full moon and so forth. It's a wonderful thing. And then we have, I guess the sort of last sort of question I have for you is Anchorage as a winter city and with climate change and, where are we headed? What's your crystal ball tell us?
Well, if you've lived here long enough, you've been through some bad winters. We've had a run of really good winters with snow and cold. But yeah, if you've been here long enough, we can have winters where there's no snow or 40 degrees and rain. But it's, despite all that, we're going to be a winter city in a winter state for a long time. We're all worried about climate change. But one of the things that is cool now is I said I'd never get a fat bike. I'm a skier. I'm not going to do that. But one year, my friend Alice Tower Knapp said, hey, come on out. The skiing was bad. Yeah. So I went out with her. She loaned me her husband Gunner's bike, and oh, this is fun. I was hooked. Yeah. So now I have a fat bike. I've got my skis and I got my skates. So feel like I can handle anything winter throws at me now.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing, all the different trails and facilities. And we'll close out here. So good luck with the Oval and building a facility there. That would be a fantastic addition to this community. This is Outdoor Explorer. I'm your host, Paul Tordap. We're talking with Jim Renkert about ice skating in Anchorage and South Central. Jim, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Paul. It's good fun.
That's our show on outdoor ice skating in Anchorage. Thanks to all our guests and our producer, Airport. I'm your host, Paul Tordap. Stay warm and active. And from all the hosts, we'll see you outdoors.
Outdoor Explorer is a production of KSKA Public Radio in Anchorage, Alaska. Theme music is by Portugal, The Man. Views expressed are those of the participants and do not reflect the station or its underwriters. You can find Outdoor Explorer on Facebook and in your favorite podcast app. To see what's coming up on Outdoor Explorer and add your voice to the conversation, go to our website at alaskapublic.org.
Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.